How is everybody today? Fist bump somebody and say, will you be my partner? This isn't a pickup line. Don't start there. Will you be my partner? All right, high five somebody and say, I'm glad you're here. Come on now. We're going to get fired up today. We got to get hype. I'm excited for this series. I'm excited for where we've been. How was last week, huh? When Will Gunter brought the lies we believe. Thank you. I hear somebody. Get excited. Come on, it's church. I never said I would be one of those screaming pastors, but apparently I am. So that's awesome. Hey, I'm really excited about this series. Really. It was awesome to kick off last week talking about exponential. And today we're going to continue in that, not with the pickup line that we had to begin with, but we're going to be in the book of Acts. Because here's the thing. If I'm really honest with us, how many of us believe that we have a life that's exponential? Two people. Amen. Praise God. It's a tough crowd today. So how many of us remember learning that in, like, what is it, pre-algebra that we learned about exponentials or algebra? Am I being that nerdy? Is that what happens? Okay, so nobody remembers x squared or parabolas or x cubed and how it goes up and how it goes up and to the right? Or we won't get in derivatives or integrals. We won't stop that, right? So anyway, so most of us think of exponential as like this term and this guru that we see from people on television. We think of it in math. And we never equate it to the life that we get to live. We think exponential is for everyone else. We think exponential is for the guy that we paid to go to the seminar to, right? Like, this guy comes on and he's got this big smile and he's ready to go and he promises you this exponential life. If you'll just follow this 12-step program, you're going to get it all together, right? Like, that's what we think the exponential life is. Let me tell you this. Jesus didn't die for you to go through a 12-step program. He died so that you have an exponential life through the Holy Spirit from the moment you surrender your life to Him. And so over these next few weeks, we're going to talk about this exponential life. And what better way to do it than to study the book of Acts. So if you've got your Bible with you, we're going to be in the book of Acts today. And the book of Acts, chapter 3, as I roam and dance around today. Y'all get ready. I'm excited today. It's a little warm outside. It's not raining right now, y'all. Come on. There was no mud. Who can get excited for that? I mean, come on. I hear some laughs. I hear one. We're good. So Acts chapter 3. If you've got Acts chapter 3, I'm going to set this up. Acts chapter 3. Today what we're going to talk about is this thing called the beautiful partnership. So married couples, if you ask, will you be my partner? Awesome. If your spouse isn't in here, text them and say, will you be my partner? Whatever that looks like for you. Everyone else who used it as a pickup line, that's lame. But hey, maybe you'll get a date after this. It'll work out. It is what it is. So whatever that looks like for you. So today, I want to talk about this beautiful partnership. And here's how I want to set it up. We're in the book of Acts. And so the book of Acts starts with the early church. It's really crazy. So these past few weeks, we've talked about Jesus dying, raising again from the dead, appearing before his disciples, and then this crazy thing called ascension to heaven. He went to heaven, and he left the disciples to go grow the church. Okay? And at this time, the church as we know it is just called the Way. Who wants to be a part of that? Like, it sounds like one of those online schemes, right? Or it sounds like one of those hackers, come be a part of the Way, right? Like, we expect it to be that, like, anonymous or something. Like, they got these masks on or something. Like, it's this sect. It's this little bitty piece of the church called the Way. And what happens is crazy. All of a sudden, the church exponentially grows. It exponentially grows, like, explodes. Like, it's not just 2 plus 2 equals 4. It's 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 times 2. And it just keeps going and going and going. And it's like 2 to the 15th power. It just keeps growing exponentially. And so today, that's what I want to talk about, is this thing called a beautiful partnership. Because to have an exponential life, we have to understand that we need each other. See, Peter and John are standing here before we dive into this text. And if you know me, you know I love John. Like, the book of John, that's where I'm at. But the crazy thing is, if you know about John's character, he's the quiet one. I like the quiet one. I don't know. Can you believe that? He's the steady one. And if you know anything about me, I certainly ain't steady. You heard me up here yelling from the beginning, like, John is the one that is the beloved. John's the steady one. John is the disciple when Jesus was hanging on the cross that stood by his mother's side. He's the beloved. He is the one that was the silent partner, if you will. He was the one that kept quiet. And with him is this guy named Peter, who is bold, who walks on water, who's this guy that will go out there and says, surely I won't disown you, Lord. And what does he do? He disowns him. Like, he's the one who turns his back on. He's the one who runs away. He goes back to fishing. He does all these things. Like, he's the bold one, and John's the quiet one. But what's crazy is for them to experience a miracle, they both had to be together, because it took the boldness and the steadiness to see Jesus do something inside of them and through them and a man being healed. So today when we're in Acts 3, I want to talk about the beautiful partnership, and I want us to talk about it through that lens, how we need each other. The thing is, we were never meant to do this life alone. Like, all of us were created to be together. If you're in Romans 12 or 1 Corinthians 12 in your quiet time, or you've ever been there, and it talks about the body of Christ being made up of many members and many gifts. It takes the quiet person and the one who screams in the microphone. It takes the one who can't sing here and has somebody who can sing that was just on the stage to make it happen each and every week. It takes one who can build and one who can drive. Neither of those I'm good at. But it takes both of those to make the church work. So Acts 3 is where we're going to be as we're diving into this thing. And so here's the thing. The church has spread exponentially. But what's happened is this. If you take away anything from today, I want you to know this. Over these next few weeks, I'm getting you summer ready. Who's got their summer bod ready? Are they ready? I've been in the same summer bod for years, so I guess I'm as ready as I'm going to get, right? Like, I see the post everywhere of the summer body ready, right? Like, I'm going to get your spirit summer ready. We're going to get ready, okay? We're going to get ready over the next few weeks. And I want you to know that for the church of God to grow, he expects his people to grow. You see, God's this thing that he not only wants to grow his kingdom, but he loves us so much that he wants us individually to grow, and that's what naturally makes his kingdom grow. Peter and John are standing here. Like, they've seen Jesus heal people. They've seen Jesus do miraculous things. They've seen miracles. They've seen him come back from the dead. They've seen all of these awesome things, and all of a sudden, now it's time to put it into practice. And the only way they could do that is if their faith grew. So if you don't get anything from that beautiful partnership today in this exponential series, I want you to know, for God's kingdom to grow, his people have to grow. And to grow, they have to be in community. They have to be together. You can't grow this with one person. You just can't do it. You can't do it. If that's the case, then there was no need for the disciples to be around, and Jesus wouldn't have invested in them. He would have had all of them come after he had rose again and say, "Hey, I'm the Son of God. I just rose again. Y'all will figure it out, but I'm going to go back to where I came from." No. He invested in them in community, and he knew that what he was investing in them, they would grow. And so the church grew exponentially. So Acts 3, pick up your Bible, Acts 3. Here's where we are. We're all going to be partners in reading this today. I'm believing Jesus is going to do something that's crazy, crazy awesome. Starting in verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple for a time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. How many folks know what happens at 3 in the afternoon for some of us? It's when the yawns come, 5-hour energy comes out, that next pot of coffee comes up. We break out Facebook or Instagram or Twitter and get caught up in cat videos on YouTube. Like, something happens. 3 o'clock is the distraction phase of our life, right? And it blows my mind that Peter and John at 3 o'clock are going up to the temple for a time of prayer. For a time of prayer. This blows my mind. It makes me wonder about my 3 in the afternoon. I'm like, man, they got it. They're growing. I'm not always praying at 3 in the afternoon unless I'm like on the road or something and I'm praying that people get out of my way so I can go where I need to go, right? Or something like that. That's terrible. Your pastor's just confessing and repenting. Nothing crazy is going to happen. So for me, that's where it is at 3 o'clock. So that was my first challenge to myself. Side note, so whoever's holding me accountable to that, know at 3 in the afternoon I need to be praying. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. Here's the thing I want you to know. I'm just going to keep pausing because I'm excited today. You know, you take a week off and you get all jacked up and you just want to share 1,000 things. There was a man who was lame from birth. A lot of us carry some things in our life that cripple us. Some of us were born with it. And I want you to know that only Jesus can heal it. And I don't care how close to the beautiful things the world tells you you need to be, only Jesus is going to be the one that can fix it. You know, some of us walked in this house today, and the church is a beautiful place. The church is the place where we have to have it all together, right? We got to put on our best smile, have our best hairdo, wear our best suit, jeans, whatever it looks like. Like, we got to look our best. We've got to look beautiful. but inside we're crippled. And here's what I want you to know about church. Church is a place where you don't have to look beautiful. You just have to come ready for Jesus to heal what only he can heal and do what only he can do. But so many times we are like this lame man, and we stay away from church and we stay away from the people of God because we don't think we're beautiful enough, we don't think we have it all together, and we don't think that we're fit to be able to take part into it. That's where this man's sitting. The world will tell you everything you need to do to be beautiful. Like, I think about this man. He was put there every day to beg. He was put there every day to beg. How crazy is that? Every day to beg. So close to the people of God, yet so far away. I want to tell you, if you don't lay down the thing that cripples you, that's where you're going to be. So close to the people of God, yet so far away. Let's see what Peter and John do with this story. I love that it's called beautiful too. I want to get into that in a minute. I can't help it. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for the thing the world told them would give them the most, right? Beautiful thing, money. He asked them for money. So how many of us think about this when somebody asks us for money? Do we think that they're broken down? Do we think that we get to be the beautiful that is Jesus to them? Or do we think, there they go, asking for money again? The people saw this man every day at 3 o'clock. So it makes me think about how grumpy I am at 3 o'clock sometimes, and how people are in my path that are looking for something and searching for something. But I know what to give them. And that's only Jesus, right? But yet, this man is sitting there, and he's asking for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John, the quiet one. Then Peter said, look at us. He's like, dude, I'm a pastor. I'm a realtor. Look at the cart I drive. Like, I'm riding this donkey. Like, it's crazy. It's a used donkey at that. Like, you know, it's got some stuff on it. We can't even step up the camel. Like, we're in those days. Like, look at us. Look at us, man. Like, you're asking us for money. Like, I'm broke, man. I'm broke. Like, I don't know what's happening. And if you know, like, that's where some of us feel right now, right? Like, you don't know what's happening. Like, look at me. Do you think I can give it to you? Look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Think about that. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. You know, I'm thinking, if I'm the crippled man, I'm just telling them, just move on. Like, crazy people telling me to walk. Just go on. Like, I haven't walked. We learn later that it's like 30 to 40 years he's been lame. Like, just go on. Like, the next person's going to give me the money I need to get through the day. Like, you're telling me to walk? You're an idiot. You see I'm lame. You pass me every day. Don't miss this either. Hey, maybe the biggest miracle that's about to happen in your life is the thing you step over every day. And you think that it doesn't matter. You think that it doesn't make a difference what you do. You think your job doesn't matter. You think your family doesn't matter. You think your worship doesn't matter. You think your prayer doesn't matter. You think your reading your Bible doesn't matter. The thing you step over every day that you think doesn't matter may be the biggest thing Jesus wants to work in your life for a miracle. That's where this man's standing. He's standing there. And I'm thinking of all the thoughts in his head. And I think of Peter and John, like, Peter's being bold. Like, he's stepping up saying, in Jesus' name, walk. Like, I don't know if I could do that. Like, if I pass this guy every day, like, how bold could I be that I just look at the man who's asking me for money every day? I've probably given him money at some point. I've probably given him something to get through the day. Maybe I gave him, you know, a 1, 2, or 3 McDonald's menu or something. I gave him something, you know, like something happened. Like, I was able to knock out the dollar menu and get him some food. Like, he was expecting to get that. And all of a sudden, I look at the man and say, hey, I know what you're looking for. It's Jesus. Walk. How many of us would do that? How many of us would be two people in line trying to get to the temple to pray and be like, who is this fool? Like, he's telling this guy to walk? Like, does he know who he is? Like, what's happening? But Peter and John know that they have to grow in the Lord for his kingdom to grow. So they're standing there. So this first step that I want us to talk about that I love about this story and the beautiful partnership is this, prayer. Prayer. You see, at the time of prayer, Peter and John were able to see something crazy happen. And so did the guy who didn't believe he could walk. who didn't believe Jesus was who he said he was, who didn't believe he could ever be good enough. And it made me think about this exponential life. How many times when I go to pray, do I just go through the motions? Do I just think, oh, he's not going to hear me anyway. I'm just going to pray, Jesus, don't let it rain. I don't know. And then the rain comes and I'm mad and I think it doesn't matter. Or, Jesus, you know, go be with that person. And I know it's not going to matter, but I can say I did it. And when I text them, I'll tell them I prayed for them. I don't know how much difference it makes. But see, the difference in an exponential life is you understand your prayer matters. At the time of prayer, it's no coincidence that this miracle happened at the time of prayer. And it made me think, I wonder how many times this lame man prayed to be healed. How many times did he think, man, if I just pray enough, if I just ask the right person, like he's sitting there and he's expecting something to get him through the day, but what he got was something that's about to change his eternity. What if your prayer life looked like that? What if those around you knew that no matter how broken down they were, no matter what they're going through, how crippled they feel, when they're in your presence and they know that you're praying for them and they know that you say in Jesus' name it's going to be taken care of, that actually it gets taken care of. That they experience a peace that surpasses all understanding. They experience a peace that they've never experienced before in their life. Because see, they're just praying to get through the day. Sometimes that's my prayer. And God reminds me that I wasn't made for that. I wasn't made to pray just to get through the day. I was made to make an eternal difference. Not because of me, but because of who he is. It's not because I stand up here with a microphone. It's not because I have pastor behind my name. It's not because I have realtor behind my name. It's not because of my name. It's because of Jesus' name that my prayer matters. But so many times, we think we can do it on our own. See, the beautiful partnership here is when we lay something down in prayer, what can happen? What can happen? Those that are searching for something can find it. And it's going to be so much sweeter. So in your day-to-day life, I wonder, in your prayer, what are you walking over that you think doesn't matter? Maybe you're praying for your finances to be set up. Maybe you're praying for a family member. Maybe you're praying for the diagnosis you just got. Maybe you're praying for the relationship that seems just so far gone that it just can't be fixed. And you just, I'm just going to say it so I can say I said it. So I can be mad at you later, Jesus, if you don't do it. What if you just trusted that he's doing what he's called you to do, and he's called you to be exponentially greater than you are right now? Are you just going to be like the lame man, hanging outside, begging? See, the difference was Peter and John knew that they weren't made to beg, they were made to give. And that's the difference between a Christian and someone who doesn't know who Jesus is. We've got something to give, and it's not temporary, it's eternal. And some people are just looking for the temporary, but we get to show them the eternal. So my question is, exponentially, where is your prayer? Do you believe in the partnership of prayer? Do you believe that getting together in prayer matters? Do you believe that coming together? Do you believe that telling your friend, I need your prayer for this, please pray for me? Do you believe that there's a partnership there? Do you believe that many people can come together and pray for mountains to move and that they happen? Or is that just something that you read about in the Bible that Jesus said he would do? But could he really? Could that really happen to me? You know, I ask myself that a lot of times. I'll stand up here and tell you, I can ask that. Is this really going to happen, Jesus? Like, is this really, can you really do that? And instead, I'll text somebody and say, hey, I need some prayer on something. Or the way the Spirit works is really crazy. I'll get a text message to say, I don't know why, but I just prayed for you today. Well, there we go. There's that exponential life to get to live with Jesus. So my question is, where's your partnership in prayer? You see, the thing that I love here is that we do need each other. But I want to talk to you about this thing called partnership in prayer. Some things that I want to share with you is, see, Peter and John were partners, but don't miss that this lame man had people who brought him every day. It said his friends laid him there to beg, every day. He had partners in his life. He had people in his life that carried him there. Like, I wonder how they did that. Like, did somebody have a truck? Or did somebody like have a car or something? They got put him in the back seat or a trailer, or like, do they have a schedule? Like, I'll pick him up on Monday and Wednesday. You pick him up on Tuesday, Thursday. We'll see what happens on Sunday. We'll rotate. Like, did they have a schedule? What is it that they did? He had people in his life who carried him. And here's what I want you to know about prayer that will open you up to something crazy. You see, sometimes there are people in your life that have carried you as far as they can take you. It's not that they're bad people. They just can't give you what you need and can't give you what Jesus made you to do. Peter and John was able to do that for this man. Not that his friends were bad. His friends knew that if they just got him to the temple, something was going to happen. Something was going to happen. Day by day, they put him at the temple. They were great partners. They were awesome at what they did. They just couldn't give him what he needed. There are people in your life that have got you as far as they could take you. Doesn't mean they're bad people, but it also means you need to form new partnerships. You need to form new relationships. You need to be a part of people in your life who love you, who are ready to take you into your next step, not keep you exactly stuck where you are, because the lame man could have kept going back to that beautiful gate every day. And he would have got just enough alms to get through the day as the poor would get at the time. But instead, he met somebody that showed him something exponential, that gave him something exponential, and it was this simple: in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. How crazy is that? Just the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus brings you to exponential. So today, I want you to think about that in your prayer. Who are the people that have brought you as far as they could bring you? Who are the people that God's placed in your life to help you through your next step, to help you take that next step, to help you live that exponential life? And my question is, don't be mad at the people that have brought you as far as they can. They're not bad people. They just can't give you what you need in this next step. Trust that Jesus will bring them to your path most of the time when you least expect it. Let's continue on with this story. Taking him by the right hand. It'd be cool if I had somebody to help pick me up, but I'm afraid my jeans would rip and then I wouldn't be beautiful. Y'all be laughing, right? Like, it'd be one of them things. I wouldn't be at the temple gate, right? That'd be rough. It'd be great for online because you'd laugh really hard and we'd have like commercial break. But for real, the right hand. Where's Jesus seated? At the right hand of God. You see, in Jewish culture, the right hand is the one you made an oath with. It was the authority. You see, for this lame man's life, the authority in his life was his crippledness. But all of a sudden, he laid that down and he gave his authority. Who did he say? In Jesus' name, walk. He gave his authority up to something that was more, taking him by the right hand. The right hand. That's why that matters. That's why it matters. He gave his authority away for the day to get something eternal. It's crazy to me. His right hand. The Bible will blow your mind with stuff like that. He helped him up. And down the line, he learned to walk. Like, he went through rehab and he went through some surgeries and they got him cleared up. And, you know, he saw the best surgeons in the world. No. What does the Bible say? Instantly. There are two things in life that I know are instant: grits and oatmeal. But instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and he began to walk. Then he went into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. He didn't have anything to hold back. Like, I think about this. This man is losing his mind in worship. He thought he was going there to get a sandwich, but he got something to change his life for eternity. And it makes me wonder, does our worship look like that? Does our praise look like that? Because the thing that we have to give people more than anything is the name of Jesus. That is above all names. It wasn't Peter who healed that man. It wasn't John who healed that man. It was the name of Jesus. And he jumped up. It wasn't something that he could keep quiet. It wasn't something that he was worried about what people thought. He was exponentially changed. Completely different. All because he gave his authority up and he surrendered the thing that was crippling him. that was crippling him. Blows my mind. It makes me wonder at 3 in the afternoon with my prayer, am I doing that in my prayer? Am I doing that? Am I believing that? Or am I saying, whew, wonder what's on TV tonight? Well, the NBA playoffs are happening. It's going into that. Like, am I doing that? Or am I thinking about the exponential? The people that I step over every day that God puts in my path, or the circumstances that I step over every day that I think God can't redeem? And then people say, hey, I see this in you. And you're like, not me. You don't want me to do that. Do I just trust when I surrender it to Him that there's something exponential? Let's continue on with the story, because I don't want to keep you here 4 hours. I would love to do that, but I don't want to do that to you. Instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet, began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts. And we're going to be in verse 9 here in a second, but I'm going to stop on this for a second in verse 8. And you're going to see it. You're going to see it when we're in 9 and 10. So he's at the beautiful gate outside the temple courts. And he steps through the beauty that the world says as a new person and jumps inside the temple courts. And he's praising. You see, it was exponentially more. The thing that they told him he needed, he didn't need. He only needed Jesus. And he was better than beautiful. He actually walked through the beauty to be who God made him to be. It just blows my mind. He's out there outside of that. That's a time for another. We'll dive into that Thursday night. So if you don't have anything to do Thursday night, come hang out with us. We'll dive into more on that. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, think about this. You're a church attender. You go every week faithfully. You pray. You do your Hail Marys. You do all those things. Whatever you are. Like, these are religious people. They do everything every day. They got a set schedule. Oh, there he is again praying. You know old beggar over there. There he is again. Wait, is that who I? Nah, fake news, right? Like, it's fake news. That's what we would say now. That's fake. Like, that's doctored. That's doctored. That's photos doctored. There's no way that that's real. That, hang on. He's walking? And not only that, he's praising God. He's not begging anybody. Like, I love, he's praising God. And does it say that he's asking anybody for a thing? No. He doesn't. And I love that. He's praising God. They recognize him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. The second thing in this beautiful partnership is praise. When you're around the community of God, and when you're around people who love God, your praise is something different, but that can only happen when you take a next step. That life change can only happen when you give up whatever it is you're hanging on to and you give it to God. Maybe it is your finance. Maybe it's baptism. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your grandkids. Maybe it's your nephews, nieces. I don't know. Maybe it's your career. I don't know what it is that you need to give up. But watch what God will do when you give it up to Him. Crazy. Your praise will make you look different. People are going to say this, like, when you meet Jesus, people start noticing something about you. Like, I would say that the number one thing people say to me when they've surrendered their life to Christ for the first time is people start saying, there's something different about you. You know why? They see you jumping up and down praising God. They don't see that you're crippled by your sin anymore. They don't see that you're crippled by your circumstance. There's just something different about you. And here's the thing. It takes somebody else seeing it, because you can't see it yourself. You know, I told you we're getting summer body ready. Like, have you ever gone through weight loss or weight gain? Like, you can't see it because you look in the mirror every day, but yet somebody around you is like, man, you're trimming up. And I'm like, I'm up 20 pounds. I don't know what you're talking about. But yeah, I'm down. I'm down. Whew, you need to get your eyes checked. I know that's what that means, right? It takes somebody else to see that in you. And here's what I want you to know. When you have the hope of Jesus in you, the world is searching for it. And when they saw that they're crippled hanging outside this beautiful gate, and you were once there with them, and now you get to step into the presence of God, and you have the peace that surpasseth all understanding, they're excited. They see you walking, jumping, and praising. You may not even see it yourself. You may not see it. Like, you don't know that you walk differently. You don't know that you talk differently. But there is something about you that makes you more beautiful than hanging out in the beautiful gate. because you've walked past it. You have Jesus. And so when we're talking about this beautiful partnership, I wonder if that's where we are. Like, I wonder so many times, church, if that's where it's okay. Like, I wonder if we worry about inviting people to church because maybe that's our experience, that when things are all broken down, they can't come in. Like, I wonder if we could be that church where people say, hey, I'm lame and I'm crippled, but I know that there's a beautiful partner here and I'm going to talk with them. I'm going to get to meet with them and somebody's going to walk with me through this, because somebody might have drug my tail here, but I'm walking out. There's something that I've got and I'm walking out better than how I came in here. I wonder, church, if we could be that church. I wonder, church, the exponential life this city would experience if we knew that when things were broken down, that this was a place they found sanctuary. This was the place they found hope. Or do we go through our daily life not understanding that our prayer and our praise is so exponential that the world sees it in us Monday through Saturday, but we're afraid to bring them to it on Sunday? See, church, that's what we were made to be. The beautiful partnership of growing the kingdom of God is that, like, Peter and John are outside the temple courts. They're outside where the church people are, and they're meeting people. You know that when the church spread in Acts, most of the miracles didn't happen inside the temple courts. They all happened out in the streets. They all happened outside of the church. Because you know who sees the biggest difference in you? The world. The world sees the biggest difference in you. And I wonder what would happen if we went into the world and said, hey, I know you don't have it all together. Hey, I know you think you got to be cleaned up. You got to dress a certain way. I mean, the pastor wears tennis shoes. I mean, seriously, you can come hang out with us. Like, it's, we got carpets down. We meet in a gym. A gym? You have church? Yeah, we meet in a gym, man. And sometimes it smells like it. But I'd love for you to come here. Like, I'd love for you to come hang out with me. What if we were that church? What if we were the church that the single mom says, I just need a break. These kids are driving me crazy. Hey, guess what? You get an hour break every week on Sunday. Come drop them off at Vine Kids. We have people who love kids, who love giving them the hope of Jesus. And we say, hey, you need a break? You feel like you're about to break down? This train's going to break down? I know what you need. Come hang out with me. Maybe you got to lie to them. Tell them you're going to Krispy Kreme after. I don't know. Whatever it is you've got to do to get people here, I wonder, church, if we would believe that there's something exponential for this city, or it's boxed into what we can load in and load out. Because I know better. I know there's so much more. I know there's so many more that are sitting there outside of this gate that think they have to be beautiful to get in. If they look at me, they know they ain't got to be beautiful. It is what it is. But when they see me leaping and dancing and praising God, and I don't even recognize it, they want to be a part of it. And it's as simple as saying, will you come with me? Will you come with me? They may say no for a while. That's all right. Once they get here, they're going to encounter something that's going to give them something for eternity. 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 And when they do, all their friends are going to be amazed. You see, all the church people were amazed. Think about last week. How amazing was last week when a next step happened? Wasn't it amazing to see a next step? Wasn't it crazy? What if I told you that happens every week here? I just wonder if we celebrate it. I want to be the one praising God so much that I celebrate the person who tithed for the first time, the person who trusted God in their relationship for the first time, just as much as that baptism that happened, just as much as them surrendering their life to Him. There are people and that we know that we literally, and I do it too, I'm guilty too. He just wants money. Here's a dollar. Right? How many of us do that? Somebody sees something different. Hey, will you pray for me? Hey, can you pray for something for me? Yeah. How many times do we do that? I do it. We all do it. The world's searching, and we have it. The exponential life they want is through Jesus, and we get to show it to them here. Let's continue the story on. I think we're only 2 hours in, y'all. Y'all are doing good. Y'all are hanging in with me. Y'all good? I'm stopping in the middle of a message, so this is going to be online. I'm just going to say you're good. So we need to do some stretches. Are we good? We're good. Okay, we don't need to stretch. I won't stretch. I'll probably break the camera. So we're good. All right. I have to zoom way out, Zach, if I do that. Sorry. So let's continue on the story. We're almost done. Acts 3, verse 11 says this. While the man held on to Peter and John. Whoa. Wasn't he just leaping and praising God? What does it say he did? So Luke's writing this, the good old doctor. So he's getting there. What does it say he did? While the man held on. So wait. Not only when I take a next step is there praise and there celebration, but there are people who are going to take a next step with me that I can lean on as I learn to do this, that I can lean on to as I figure out what it's like to follow Jesus, that I can say, hey, I know I was lost and now I'm found. I know I was crippled and now I'm set free. But see, here's the thing. I don't know what it's like to walk. I don't know what it's like to take a next step. Will you help me? Will you walk with this through me? Will you take a next step through me in church? That's what we're made to be. It's not made to be a journey where, oh, they're able to walk. Good luck. And we walk on. No. They held on to Peter and John. Christian, that's what we're called to do. There are people in our life. When they meet Jesus, we're going to help them take those next steps, whatever that is. It's not up to us to decide that next step. That's up to Jesus. But we're going to celebrate them and let them hang on to us while they do it. And guess what? Peter and John had to hang on to each other while they did it as well. Continues on. All the people were astonished, came running up to them in the place of Solomon's colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, oh, I love Peter. I'm not going to lie to you. He's crushing it right here, like the bold Peter. Now, time out. Remember what I told you about John? He's a quiet one. So I imagine he's just trying to hold. If I think of Peter and John in this, really quick before we talk about what Peter says, like John's probably holding the guy up. Like he's struggling to help the guy stay up. And Peter's just like, you got this, man. I'm gonna go talk to these people for a minute. That's what I love about Peter. He drops it. And what does he say? Fellow Israelites. Why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? So time out. If I saw that, I probably would think, hey, he's got something I want, right? This dude was begging every day, and now he's walking? What did you do? Was there some snake oil? Was there some miracle cure? Was there a shot? Was there therapy? Was there a pill? What is it that I had to take to get that, right? Peter drops it. He drops it. I love where he goes here. He says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant, Jesus. Now, if you grew up in church, and I told you, hey, I want you to be free to highlight in your Bible, to circle things and come back around to it, because I believe that you can, sometimes God will give you a word to come back to. It's good for you in this season, but when you circle back around and see God's faithfulness, you'll get to see it even more. I want you to look at what Peter says. You disowned him before Pilate. If you grew up in church, what is it that Peter did? He disowned. He denied Jesus, right? In the presence of Pilate. Jesus was standing in front of Pilate and Peter disowns him, right? Jesus is standing in front of the high priest. Peter disowns him. He's in the courtyard. He's trying to figure out what they're about to do with him. And he disowns him. Now, yes, if you know the story, you grew up in church, Peter has been restored. But I love Peter is also telling them, hey, guys, I've been there. You disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer, Barabbas, be released to you. It goes on to say this in verse 15 and 16. You killed the author of life. How about that for a sermon? Just, you killed the author of life. He could have stopped there. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this by faith in the name of Jesus. This man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that completely healed him, as you all can see. The third thing about this beautiful partnership is the promise. Peter made sure the people knew that the promise of God was for them to live an exponential life. You may think that you know. He's saying, hey, the same God that you worship inside these temple courts has made a way for you to live this life. You think it's just walking that changes this man? It's not walking that changed him. It's his complete life change. His life has been changed. His eternity has been changed. He doesn't have to beg anymore. He has everything that he needs. And so it makes me think about this church. I want to say this, and I'm going to say it, and I got to share it a little bit earlier at 9 a.m., and I love how we have generous sowers here who believe in the beautiful partnership to reach people with the promise of God is this. You see, obedience cost us all something. See, next week we're going to dive into what it cost Peter and John. See, their obedience to share the gospel put them in prison. This is right before they go to jail. We're going to talk about that in Acts 4 next week. Like, they share the gospel and go to jail for it. But the progress and the process of next steps that happened is a lame man could walk. A man that was sentenced to death, that was dead, had no way out, couldn't do anything for himself, now has life and life eternal. And it makes me think about this. Are we willing to pay the price of obedience? Because Christian, Jesus paid the price. His obedience paid the price for our sins. His obedience is the thing that sets us free. His name that's above all names, he humbled himself as a servant of God so that we could have a relationship with God, so that we could have prayer and God hear us, so that we could have praise and God could hear us, so that we could share the promise and fulfill the promise of God, which is to go into all the nations, teaching them all that Jesus has taught us, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Holy Ghost, whatever you want to call it there. The Holy Spirit, right? That's the promise of God that we get to live out, grow his kingdom. But it starts by us growing. And so my question is this. Are we willing to pay the price of obedience to load in, load out? Are we willing to pay the price of obedience to do what God's called us to, even in seasons where we can't see it, for the progress and the process of people taking next steps and coming to God for the first time? Are we willing to pay the price of obedience? Or are we just window shopping at the beautiful gate? Are we taking a stroll downtown talking about how good it could have been, how I wish I could, how if we had this it would be better? Or do we just trust God with our obedience? See, what makes the church different than the rest of the world is maybe those friends were obedient, dropping that lame man at the church, but it took something more. It took someone believing more. It took something, someone sharing something that could only heal, that made him different. Church, we get to be the place that happens. Each and every week, we share the hope of the gospel. Each and every week, we live the hope of the gospel. Each and every week, we pay the price of obedience. It takes people to set up this stage, to set up these chairs. It takes finances to get the things we get to do. It takes obedience. It's tough. Sometimes it's the middle of the week, and you're just like, I don't know if I'm going to make it to Sunday. But then all of a sudden, you know that if I'm not there, someone's not going to hear the hope of God. Someone's not going to hear the hope of Jesus. Someone's not going to experience it. It's one conversation that can't be had. It's one less person that gets to see Jesus. It's one less person that gets to see prayer and praise and the promise of God fulfilled. We know that it's not meant to be a window shopping God. We're just called to be obedient, and we're willing to pay the price. And so the thing is, the folks that are willing to pay the price will always get to be a part of the miracle. And if there's anything I want more for everyone in this room, for everyone watching online, no matter where you are right now, I want you to experience the promise of God. Then I want you to take part in the miracle of others being set free. And that only happens if you're obedient to what God calls you to. To what God calls you to. And I don't know about you, but I wonder if you've made that decision. Can you say you made the decision to pay the price of obedience? You see, we don't have to go to jail for that. We get to freely share it. Will we freely say, hey, I don't know how that worked out. It was only Jesus. It was only Jesus that happened. It was only Jesus. It was only Jesus that I was dead and now I'm alive. It was only Jesus that I was lame and now I can walk. It was only Jesus that thing that I thought would cripple me forever that I was born with is the thing that he set me free from. It was only Jesus. Or do we just say, yeah, church is pretty cool. People, God's all right. God's okay. I mean, I got fire insurance. I'm not going to hell, so I'm good. It must end there. That must be the best it gets. But at least I'm not going to hell. See you in eternity. We're good to go. Or do we share it and say, hey, I can't imagine what you're going through, but I know who can. Let me tell you about him. His name's Jesus. And I can't promise you that it's going to be okay, but I know he'll help you. So as we wrap up this thing today, as we talk about this exponential life and this beautiful partnership, you know, I wouldn't say anything other than, if you're searching for a new partner in life, married couples, you got your partner. Let's work through that. Don't be sharing that. Don't put that on a status and say, he told me I'm looking for a new partner. No. New partners in your life to walk step by step with you. Come Thursday night. Hey, we stream live on Facebook for our Thursday night greenhouse gathering. Maybe you can't make it every week, but there are people in Christian community, because here at the Vine Church, we believe life change happens best inside of Christian community. And here's the why. We know that people who are coming in with things that are crippling them will walk out being set free. And when they walk out and they praise God, man, the exponential difference they'll make in the lives of those around them. So today, as we wrap up, I just want to ask you this. As we get ready to go into invitation here in just a second, is I believe today that each and every one of us have a next step. I believe we do. Hey, you know, there are a couple different people in this story. Maybe we're the cripple man. We need the hope of a better tomorrow. We're just trying to get through the day today, and we're crippled by something, and maybe we'll talk about that in a second. Maybe that something is sin, because we've never surrendered our life to Christ. We're going to walk through what that looks like. But hey, maybe we're Peter and John in this story, and we have the capacity to reach out to someone who's close to us and say, hey, I don't know what you're going through, but there's something about me that says I need to be in your life. I don't know what you're walking through, but I'm going to walk through it with you. Because see, sometimes in our life, there are going to be times that somebody reaches out to us, and there are going to be times that we need to reach up, but more importantly, there are going to be times where we have to lean on others to help us through our next step. And so inside of this story, whatever your next step is, I want you to know you got people you can lean on in this room. You got people that you can reach out to online, let us know. You can comment, email, text me, whatever it takes. There's people who want to walk with you through that next step. But as we get to the end, the first thing I talked about in the next step is, maybe you felt crippled your whole life. You thought, if I could just walk, man, the difference my life would be. And you go through day by day, it's the same routine, over and over again. And you give up hope of walking, and you think, if I could just get through the day. And then getting through the day turns into, if I could just get to 3 o'clock. I can just get to 3 o'clock. If I could just get to 3 o'clock, I'm going to make it. Then it turns in, if I could just get enough money, I can make it. I want to tell you, the thing you're searching for isn't money, it isn't walking, it isn't 3 o'clock. It's Jesus. Because see, all of us were born crippled like that man. All of us were born crippled by sin. And the only way that we could be set free is through Christ Jesus. That's it. See, he paid the price of obedience. He came and lived the life that we couldn't live, died the death we deserved, but more importantly, he left an empty tomb so that we could experience an exponential life now. Not in eternity, not later down the line, now. And the only way that we get that is by surrendering our life, giving up authority of our life to the only one who can change it. And that's Christ Jesus. So as we close here, I want to ask you that. Have you given your life to Christ? Have you ever truly surrendered your life to him? And you say, well, how do I do that? It's hard. I hear all these stories, and what's the 12-step process? It's nothing. You got to have faith. We're going to say a prayer in a minute, but you have faith. He is who he says he is, and he's the only one who can set you free. That's it. Nothing else. Not a man, not Peter and John that healed this man. It was the name of Christ Jesus. It's not going to be the words of this prayer that saves you, but the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. So as we get ready to do that, I'm going to ask everyone to bow their head, because you know in this house, we all pray together for those who are coming to Christ for the first time. And if that's you, I'm going to ask you to respond after this. But like I said, know that there are people who are going to see you praising God, and know that you're different once you've surrendered your life to him, whether you notice it or not. And they're going to celebrate with you, and they're going to be excited with you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm just going to ask everyone to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you lived the life that I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, and left an empty tomb that I may live an exponential life. Come take over my life. Teach me how to follow you, step by step, the best way I know how, the rest of my life. With every head bowed, whether you're in this house, or online, or in your car, or in the coffee shop, if that's you and you prayed that prayer for the first time, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Let us know.